child, the word that goes forth will remain in your hearts. And as it remains in your hearts, it will bear fruit. And that word will prosper. And that world will bring forth that which it is promising to you. So that whatever it is that you hear from this pulpit, when you receive it and you grab it with all of your heart and you say, that's mine, then the word will accomplish that what it pleases. And it will be a powerful time. And it will be a fruitful time. And it says, you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. And the mountains, the seven mountains, and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Amen. There will be rejoicing when the word is received. And there will be rejoicing when you see the word manifest before your very eyes. So that is a word for this house, and that is a word for all of you.
Amen. You know, when the word is preached, it will always accomplish. Amen. That's the design of God. When God says something, you know, the word of God is His word of God is God. Yeah. You know? And so they're one. So and the Bible says He has raised His word above even His name. Amen. And so I believe that there's this divine encounter that whenever the word is preached, God wants to accomplish something. Yeah. Amen. Whenever you come to church, there is a word that is going to be preached. And this word is not a word of man, but a word of God. Amen. And God wants to accomplish something supernatural in a person, amen, who wants, you know, to be saturated by God. Amen. I just would like to greet my fellow kababayans, you know, the Filipinos who are here. You are a blessing to Norway. Amen. And there's a reason why you are here. Amen. And I just would like to say that the Lord's love is upon you. The Lord's hand is upon you. Amen? And so let me go to the reason why we have this international gathering. I have it in my heart to share something that I shared in Manila before I left. And I preach in the church. And there's this psalm that is very personal to me. This is actually one of my favorite psalms, if not my favorite. And this is Psalm 23. Among you know Psalm 23. Amen. It's the Lord's psalm, the shepherd psalm, okay? And it starts with, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This is Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Jesus is not just our Savior, but He is our Lord. Amen. And the Lord is. It is not was and it not will, but is. It's a present tense reality. It's a present reality. Amen. The revelation is the Lord is. God wants to be the God today, not just the God of the past, not just the God of the future, but He's the God today. So in every circumstance of life, may it be happy, may it be sad, the Lord is. Amen. He is. Amen. Can someone say the Lord is? Amen. So the Lord is my. Not someone else's, not my pastor's, not my wife's, my wife, all right? My wife, shepherd, all right? Amen. Only one wife. One wife is enough. Amen. One wife is enough. Amen. Enough. More than enough. All right? Like Jesus, more than enough to me. Amen. But really, the Lord is my. It must be a personal revelation. Amen. Everybody must come into a point wherein they must receive Jesus and Jesus must be personal in one's life. Amen. It cannot be that it's someone else's revelation. Amen. It must be mine. And God's desire is that the Lord, He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I love the imagery of the shepherd. Amen. The shepherd is the one who feeds, the one who guides, and the one who shields. And then when we have that revelation of the Lord is my shepherd, then all the blessings of Psalm 23 will manifest and will come into our lives. Amen. And so the revelation of the Lord is my shepherd, then it follows, I shall not want. What a beautiful promise. Amen. I shall not want. This year of 2017, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a definite declaration because we know our shepherd. We know that He's the one who will guide. We know that He's the one who's going to protect. He's the one that is going to provide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Yes. Amen. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And then going down to verse 5, which is the subject of actually what I'm going to share today, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then it continues, You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over, and then it says, surely. Everybody say surely. Surely. In Tagalog, sigurado. Amen. In another, I don't know, in another language, but it's surely. Amen. It's definite. Aren't you glad in God there is always surely? Amen. When He says something, it's sure. Amen. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Amen. The word follow there is chase you down. Amen. It's like a cop or like a police chasing down a criminal. Amen. That's the imagery there. Follows. So that means surely goodness and mercy will follow you, will chase you down. And I like this. All the days of my life. Amen. Everybody say all. Say all means all, right? Amen. 2017 is part of the all. 2018 is part of the all. 2020 is the part of that all. Amen. All the days of my life, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful psalm. Amen. Amen. And that is given to us as a gift. Amen. He becoming our shepherd. Now, I want us to focus on the verse that I mentioned a while ago, which is verse 5, which it says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, that word prepare there, especially in those times, preparation for a table. The table really speaks of a meal, okay? And God says here, You prepare a table before me, or rather, David is saying, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Preparing a table has a special meaning, especially in that culture. It really speaks of welcome, a great welcome. Amen. How do you say welcome in Norwegian? Velkommen. All right? It's a great welcome. All right? And also, it speaks of hospitality. All right? It speaks of hospitality. So when you welcome somebody, all right, when you prepare a table, you know, in that culture, you're actually saying you are welcome, you are my friend, you know? And not only that, you're saying that I want to get to know you better. I want to get to know you better. Amen. So it's a sign of welcome, it's a sign of hospitality, which leads into relationship. So during that time when the shepherd, the David, was writing, you know, he has this imagery that when God prepares a table, He's actually welcoming people, and not only welcoming people, but He's saying that I want to know you. I want to get to know you. Amen. Do you know in that culture, especially in the Old Testament, many covenants are sealed with a meal. Many covenants are sealed with a meal. And God is really into preparation. Amen. The word prepared there is the Hebrew word arak, arak, which means to arrange, to prepare, to lay in order, you know, to ordain, to handle. It really speaks of a picture of a general preparing for a war, all right, or to go to the battlefield. Or not only that, but a woman who's preparing for the wedding, all right. So you can see that is the word there is God meticulously preparing. Who prepares the table? God. And so He's the one that prepares. Amen. Aren't you glad that God prepares? Amen. The Bible is very clear in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works that God has prepared beforehand." So there are good things that God has prepared for you and for me. Amen. And when God prepares, he prepares not haphazardly. Amen. He prepares complete. He sees the end from the beginning. And so when he prepares the beginning and he prepares until the end. Amen. And so this word, really, in Ephesians, it says, these are good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, this is in the Amplified, that we should walk in them. So the things that God has prepared for us, he desires that we should walk in them. Amen. And then the Bible says in the Amplified, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Amen. So things were prepared for us already. Amen. 2017, I declare and I say to you, it's a prepared year. As far as God is concerned, he has prepared it for you and for me. Amen. I remember the story of the prodigal son, wherein the father, you know the prodigal son, the prodigal son wanted his share of the property, wanted the share of his inheritance. So the father gave it, and so the prodigal son left, right? But do you know that the father was waiting? We know the story. The father was actually waiting for the son to come home. All right? And then he was looking at the horizon. And the Bible says that when the father saw the son was still a ways off. Then the father saw the son and the father ran. All right? So the father ran towards the son. And the father kissed the son. All right? And the father gave and said, bring the ring. Put the ring on his finger. The ring symbolizes authority, right? And then put the robe in his back. The robe really speaks of, I'm going to cover you again. All right? You're going to be under my covering. And not only that, put the sandals on his feet. Because during those times, only sons have sandals. If you're a slave, you don't have sandals. And then look at this. He said, kill the fatted calf. Remember the story? He said, kill the fatted calf. So, fatted calf. So that means the father was anticipating for the son to come home. He was preparing for the son's coming home. So when the son left, I believe the father said to the servants, fat the calf. Feed the calf, because I know one day my son is going to come home. Amen. So the father was preparing. And when the son came home, it was all prepared. Amen. The calf was fatted. All we need to do is kill it and roast it. And let's have a party. Aren't you glad that our God prepares? Amen. He prepares. Your destiny is prepared, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. God has a plan. God has a purpose for you and for me. All we need to do is allow God to lead us, to guide us. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he prepares. He prepares a what? He prepares a table. When a table, comes to mind. When I say a table, what comes to your mind? Food. Right? Filipinos love to eat. I know Norwegian. Norwegian, I love your bread. Amen. Amazing. And Mylene loves the brown cheese. Amen. Hallelujah. Bread heaven here. Amen. We love to eat. And when God prepares a table, God desires for us to eat. So he prepares something for us that is good for us. Amen. Remember, when Jesus, before he died, the last thing that he did was he prepared a table. And what was that table? It's the Lord's Supper. Amen, the Lord's Supper. He said, this, the bread symbolizes my body that's going to be broken for you. I read somewhere that if Jesus wanted to convey something, especially about his death, he did not give them a theory. He did not give them a preaching, but he gave them a meal. This was the last night before he died. Amen. He gave them a meal. And he was saying, this bread is my body. And this symbolizes the body that will be broken for you. And not only that, this juice, or rather this wine, is a symbol of my blood that will be shed for you. Amen. So God prepares. He prepares a table. He prepares a table. And when I say, you know, a table, it speaks of food. But more than that, you know, Humong, you know, it's fun sometimes to eat alone, right? But normally, we eat with somebody, right? And when you eat with somebody frequently, what happens? Something happens when you eat together. There, like bonding happens. Fellowship happens. And the more you eat with that person, the more you eat with that person, all right? You know, you bond. Something happens when you eat with somebody, like the defenses go down, the guard go down, right? So God prepares a table not just for food. He prepares a table for relationship. God desires for us to have relationships. Amen. Relationship is big in the eyes of God. That's why he sent his son. We lost relationship when man fell. But the reason why he came, we know the second man came. Amen. Jesus, to restore that relationship between him and us. Amen. God prepares a table for us to feed on, but God prepares a table is as if he's saying, the reason why I want you in this table is because I want to get to know you. God is saying, I want for you to know me. Amen. He prepares this wonderful feast so that you and I could get to know him. Ladies and gentlemen, the key to successful relationship here is that we have this wonderful relationship up here. Amen. This relationship with him will be the key to our relationships, you know, on earth. Amen. With our marriage, with you know, with our sons, with our daughters, with our friends, you know, with our friends and all these things, you know, the key to all of this is our relationship. Because what we give, or rather what we get from this relationship, this is the one that we give to the relationship here on earth. Because we cannot give what we don't have. Amen. The more we receive, the more we give. Amen. So he prepares a what? A table. Everybody say a table. So it's in God's table, it's a place of feasting. Amen. You know why we can feast? Because the work has been finished. Amen. Every time God prepares a table, it's a victory celebration. Amen. Amen. In every season of your life, let me say this, God prepares a table. In good times, in bad times, there will always be a table. Amen. So he prepares a table before you, and this is unique. In the presence of your enemies. So he prepares a table in the presence of your enemies. Of course, the table is not for the enemy, right? The table is for you. Amen. And what are enemies? You know, I'm not saying that, you know, enemies can be people, yes. You know, there are many people that are like, you know, you don't agree with, they're against you and all these things. But an enemy also can be sickness, can be a trial, can be a tribulation, can be your Goliath, right? An enemy can be like depression, fear, panic, all right? Enemy can be like anything that takes you away from the peace and the life of God. Amen. Those are enemies. Amen. And God says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. He's saying, this is what he's saying actually. He's saying, forget about your enemy. Feast. Yeah. Amen. I will take care of them. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. He's saying as if he's saying, you know what? Just look at this. Look to me. Look to what I prepared. Don't look at the problem. Look to me. Amen. Another thing I can say is that do not look at the demand. Look at the supply. Amen. Always look at what I supplied. Amen. Many people, they always are just looking at the problem, always looking at the problem. But I remember my favorite miracle of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000, right? You know, Philip and James, you know, James and Philip, they said, you know, we have so many people here feeding 5,000, more than 5,000. You know, I believe there's children and women there, 5,000 men. But before, you know, there was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Before the miracle started, you know what Jesus did? Jesus got the bread. Jesus got the fish. And then he gave thanks. You know what was Jesus doing? He was looking at the supply. He was not looking at the demand. In the natural, 5 loaves, 2 fish is not enough. Amen? It's not enough to feed maybe 10 people. All right? I don't know what kind of bread was that. Maybe that's Norwegian bread. Okay? But it's not enough to feed, amen, 5,000 people, plus women and children. But Jesus was not looking at the problem. Jesus was not looking at the demand. Jesus was looking at the supply. He gave thanks. And then the miracle began to happen. Where was the miracle happening? In his hands. Hallelujah. Amen. This year, we do not look at the demand. We look at the supply. We look at the table that God has prepared this year for us. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to partake of the things that God has prepared for us, for me this year. Amen. Part of this is being here in Norway. Amen. God prepared. We have so many friends in the Philippines who are Norwegian. Mats is confused. He's Norwegian. He's Swedish. He's Filipino. What are you, my friend? No, yeah, I know. But really, them and Eric and Shasti and all of them, you know what? It's just a matter of time that we are going to be here. We know that. But God prepared 2017. God prepared a table for us to be here. Amen. It's wonderful just to be here. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in the presence of enemies, expect the table prepared for you. Rather than all being consumed by the enemy, being consumed by the problem, find the table. Amen. Look at the table. Where is the table that God has prepared for me? Where is the table? Where is the feast that God has prepared for me? Amen. Where is the pasta of peace? Where is the chicken of joy? Where is the happy meal of McDonald's? No. Where is the happy meal? Where is the brown cheese of life? Amen. Let me find it. Amen. It's just there. All I need to do is just not focus on the problem, but focus on Jesus. And Jesus himself will show us where the table is. Amen. With God, nothing is impossible. There is always answer to any problem. Amen. There's this song that, there's an old song, but it goes something like this. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. There is always Jesus. He is the answer, amen, in every problem. So he prepares a table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There will be enemies. It's given. It's given. John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. Amen. Perfect peace. He's the Prince of Peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, distress, suffering, but be of good cheer. In the world, there will be distress, suffering, frustration. Amen. Among you experience that. Right? But, everybody say, but. But be of good cheer. Jesus is saying, be of good cheer, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy, because I have overcome the world. Amen. The Bible says, my conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Amen. So everything that Jesus has laid out for you, amen, is ready. And when fear tries to come in, when sickness tries to come in, when challenges try to come in, amen, God is saying, I have overcome it for you. Amen. Receive the victory that I have given for you. You do not need to fight this battle. I've overcome this battle for you. All you need to do is stand. Amen. All you need to do is begin to feed on my victory. Feed on my love. Feed on my grace. Feed on my faithfulness. Amen. You know one way to feed on His faithfulness? To worship. Amen. To worship. Amen. A while ago we were singing about, what's the second song? Good, Good Father. That's the third song, right? What's the second song that we sang? Our God is greater. Amen. Our God is stronger. Imagine when you are faced with a battle, you begin to say that. You begin to feed on God's faithfulness and you begin to say, my God is greater. My God is stronger. Amen. What happens is it changes the atmosphere. It changes the way you feel. You begin to, like peace tries, peace will begin to reign in your life. Amen. Rather than complain, rather than you murmur and complain. Complaining does not get you anywhere. We've seen that in the Bible. Amen. You know, don't be like a duck. A duck quacks. Quack. You know, many Christians, they quack. If, amen, quack. They see a problem. Quack, 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 quack. You go to Manila. Oh, yeah. In the traffic. Quack, 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 quack. Quack, quack, quack. Amen. You go to Norway. Oh, Norwegians don't quack, right? No, no. There's no traffic here. No, no. When problems come, you know, whatever, they quack. Don't be like a duck. Let's be like eagles. Because eagles soar above the cloud. Amen. They soar above the trouble. Amen. That's the sign of God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God always prepares a table. Always. In every season of life, there is always a table. Just like wisdom has prepared a table. All right, in Proverbs, wisdom has built her home. Amen. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. And then it says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come. Wisdom is calling, come. Eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. He's saying, I prepared a table. All you need to do is come. Amen. Things are prepared for us this year. Yeah. Amen. You know, the things that are needed in this church is prepared for us this year. Amen. God has prepared wonderful things for you. All you need to do is come. All you need to do is take. All you need to do is partake. Because God cannot force things on you. But you must receive it. You must receive it. You must come to the understanding that I need this. Yes. Yes. Amen. But everything is just laid out. Just like this water. Right? It's laid out for me. And I need to drink right now. Right? And then literally, and honestly, I need to drink. But if I don't take it, it's just going to be there. It's pure water from Norway. Out of the tap. Right? In Manila, you don't drink from the tap. No. Right? But it's there. So I need to take it. I need to put it in my mouth. And I need to drink it. Pure water. Amen. Norwegian water. Amen. That's our part. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 2 to 5. Is this blessing somebody? Yes. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. There is a table wherein forgiveness is laid out. Amen. Who heals all your diseases. There is a table. In God's table, there is healing laid out. Amen. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and then who satisfies your mouth with good things. Amen. Only God will give you good meals. Meals that will satisfy you. Amen. Meals that will empower you, encourage you, will strengthen you, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We come into a place that God wants us to experience Him and say it is good. Yes. Amen. And that's how you bring people to church, when people have tasted the Lord is good. You know, in the church, in New Life, in the fort where we pastored, it's amazing how God just, we preach on Jesus and people have just tasted and that the Lord is good. And people are just bringing people and bringing people and bringing people. I believe the key to evangelism is us. Amen. That we taste and see that the Lord is good. And then we are the ones who's going to go out there. Evangelism is good. Programs are good. Amen. But the key is us having an experience of Jesus. Amen. If I've tasted the bread here in Norway, I tell you, when I go home, I'm going to tell them, hey, you need to taste Norwegian bread because I've tasted that it is good. It cannot be taken away from me. It's real. It's here in my tummy. It's here. Amen. It's the same is true with the Spirit. You are the ones who are going to be going out and say, I've tasted that the Lord is good. He's real in my life and you cannot take it away from me. You say that the Lord does not provide. This is the proof. You say that the Lord does not heal. This is the proof. Amen. You say that the Lord will not use somebody who's insecure, does not know how to speak in English. This is the proof. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know the Bible is very clear about, in John, Jesus was saying about, he's the, you know, the seven I ams. And one of that what he said was, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Do you know that if you go to Jerusalem, we celebrated Christmas, right? And we know the manger, right? If you go to Jerusalem and you go to Israel, you know, our guide told us that the manger there is not the manger made of wood and hay that we see in Hallmark cards. The manger there is made of stone. It's made of stone because wood during those times, even right now, you know, is scarce. So it's made of stone and it's hewn out. It's carved. The first bed of our baby Jesus was a stone-carved manger. Wherein it's a stone-carved manger, it's a feeding trough. Wherein animals feed on. The shepherds feed on, put the food in that manger, all right, in that feeding place, and then the animals feed on that. The first, you know, that's a sign to us. The first, you could say, bed of the baby Jesus was a stone-carved, damp, smelly feeding trough, a manger. But you know what? The last bed of the Lord Jesus is a stone-carved tomb. So it's a sign really that he came, is the only baby that was born to die so that all of us could be born to live. Beautiful, right? Amen. So understanding this, that his first, you know, bed was a feeding place, it is as if he's saying that the only nourishment, the only bread, the only substance that can satisfy you is me. Amen. That's why he said, I am the bread of life. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And Jesus is the bread, the source of nourishment. During those times, they know bread is the staple. They know it's a source of food. And then in John 6, 57, 58, he says, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. All right? And then look at what Jesus said. So he who feeds on me, listen to this. Jesus is saying, he who feeds on me will live because of me. He's saying, I'm the bread. I am the bread. Amen. And he who feeds on me, just as I fed from my Father. Amen. I live because of my Father. Now you, he who feeds on me, he who partakes on, you know, on who I am and what I have done, on who and my love for you. He who partakes on my promises, amen, will live because of me. Please understand that word feeds. It's not fed. It's not a past tense, you know, word. It's not a future tense word. It's a present day, you know, present tense word, which really speaks of feeding. Amen. Just like our bodies need to be fed always, our spirits needed to be fed always too. And the one that can only satisfy is Jesus. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. How do you feed on Jesus? Feed on his love. Feed on his grace. Feed on his faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Feed on his promises. Amen. Feed on his how he took care of you last year. The same God who took care of you last year is the one who will take care of you today. Amen. Feed on. Well, you have a promise from God this year. Amen. Do you have a promise that you're standing on? Well, feed on that. Amen. Feed on that. Amen. You know that word feed actually means to meditate, to chew. Amen. So the more you chew, the more you get the nourishment of the food. So you wake up in the morning and you chew on God's love. Lord, I thank you. No, I'm just joking. But Lord, I thank you. You love me. Imagine that. I am a blessed man because God loves me. Amen. Amen. I'm a blessed man because God, you know, gave his son to me. All because of him. Amen. I have a future because God has set these things for me. Amen. Amen. Feed on his love. The more you feed on his love, the more you're going to live. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5. Are you still okay? Amen. It says here, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful. Yes. Amen. He is faithful. When we are not faithful, he is still faithful. Yes. He's faithful to his word. So when he has given you his word, if you receive that word, becomes reality in your life, he is faithful to that word. Amen. Know him. Get to know his faithfulness. The Bible says, feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Who among you have a desire? Amen. Amen. All of us have a desire. But the Bible is very clear. As you feed on his faithfulness, we delight ourselves in the Lord. And when we delight ourselves in the Lord, you know what happens? He will give the desires of our hearts. You know why? Because the more you feed on him, the more you delight in him, you know what happens to your personal desires? His desire now becomes your desire. Your personal desire now gets aligned to his desire for you. So now, that's why he will honor that, because now it's according to his will. Amen. Do you know that's how I got Mylene? I stood on this verse. I saw Mylene from afar. And I said, wow. No, I'm just joking. No, yeah. No, it's not joking. No, I said, wow. Okay. I said, wow. Okay. No, really, this is the story of our love story. You know, we were in theater. She was an actress. You know, I was an extra in the play. Okay. Just an extra. All right. In that play. And, but during that time, I had a conversation with the Lord, and I was really asking, Lord, you know, I want a girlfriend. I want somebody who can, you know, be with, and then this verse came, and he said, delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires of my heart. So I began to delight myself in the Lord. True enough that I forgot that I wanted a girlfriend. Because I was just so delighting in the Lord. I forgot my desire. And then Mylene came along. She got a crush on me. That's the story. That's my version. Sweetie pie. No. I got the mic, so that's my version. No, but she came. You know, at first we were just very close friends, and then that developed into a wonderful relationship. But this verse really is true. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But it starts with what? feeding. Amen? Feeding. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And let me end. There are two verses that I want to say, read right now, and then I'm going to end. It says, may grace, in 2 Peter 1, 2, may grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. That is how the Amplified defines peace. Let me read it again. May grace, God's favor and peace, and this is the definition of peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, freedom from fears, agitating passions and moral conflicts. Among you like that peace? You have that peace. Amen. Be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. So God has given us all things, amen, that is needed through the full, personal knowledge of him. So the all things are in him. Amen. We are made complete in Christ. The Bible is clear. Amen. Of Jesus our Lord. And then verse 4, by means of these he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of divine nature. So God, the Bible says, God has given all these things to us. Amen. Through his promises. Amen. Through his promises. So that we can escape, we can overcome whatever challenge, whatever problem that comes our way. Ladies and gentlemen, the table is prepared. Everything is prepared. Everything that you would need this year is prepared. Amen. Our part, and this is our part. Let me end with this. In Revelations 3:20, this verse is always used in evangelism, all right, in evangelistic crusade. And it can be used as such, but the context really of this verse is this. Jesus is knocking, and he's knocking to the house, or rather to the church in Laodicea. All right, the church in Laodicea is a lukewarm church. They're neither hot, they're neither cold. And Jesus spoke to this church and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So he was speaking to believers. He was speaking to the church. He's not really speaking to the unbelievers. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you know that is our part. We hear his voice, we open the door of our hearts, and the Bible says, I will come in him and dine with him and he with me. More than the blessings that God has prepared for us this year, and it's all prepared, more than that, he desires us to be closer to him. He's just waiting. He's knocking. And he's saying, come. He's saying, would you allow me to dine with you? Would you allow me to get close to you? Would you allow me to be real to you this year? Amen. I stand at the door and knock. And he's knocking and he's saying, I want to dine with you. Amen. I want to enjoy this relationship. I want you to grow deeper in me. Amen. Honey, you want to say? Okay, you want to read the Amplified?
Okay, here you hold this because you're live streaming and people are watching you.
Okay. They're watching me.
No, oh, Pastor. Hold it. Okay, no, I just want to read Revelations 3:20 in the Amplified version. There's an old Amplified. This is the new version. It says, behold, I stand at the door of the church. It actually says this, of the church. So he's standing at the door of this church. But I love what it says, and continually knock. Behold, I stand at the door of the church and continually knock. So he's not stopping. There is a knocking that's going on, and it's going on continually. It doesn't stop because you decide to leave the church, or you decide to, you know, not obey, or you fail miserably. He says, oh, well, that's it. I'll stop knocking. No, he's still knocking. God is knocking. And he says here, if anyone, and anyone is anyone.
Yeah, anyone.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and restore him. There is restoration at the Lord's table. And he with me. I love that. I will come in, eat with him, restore him, and he with me. But I just wanted to point out that there is a continual knocking. That means he does not give up on us. He doesn't give up. He is so patient. And there might be a knocking, and we're going, whatever, Lord. I don't want to hear what you have to say. And how many of you have been there? Do not raise your hand. But there are times when, you know, we're so afraid of, you know, what God is going to say. But I'm telling you, whatever God has to say, it is good. Yeah. And until you say yes and open the door, he's going to knock patiently. Because he loves you. And he wants you to partake. And he wants you to eat of his goodness. And he wants you to eat of his love and of his healing. There is a table prepared, even right now. In this place, a table is prepared for you. Will you come and partake of it? Will you come and dine with him? Amen?
Amen. You know, that's my prayer for myself this year, that I will find myself always at the table of the Lord, dining with him, and enjoying him. I want to get to know Jesus deeper. I want to get to know him and his plan for my life. Because the more I know him, the more I'm going to know the plan that he has for me. Amen. And that is my heart. I just want him. Amen. And what better way? God is saying, come, table is prepared. You know? And the table is prepared. All you need to do is sit. Stop trying. Stop begging. All you need to do is come. And all you need to do is sit and begin to eat. Do you know, sitting in the Bible really speaks of resting. The more you sit, the more you're fed. Amen. The more strength comes in, the more peace will come in, the more God is able to move in your life, actually, when you let go. When you humble yourself and say, Lord, I cannot, but you can. Lord, I trust you in this. I cannot. I've tried many times, but now, this year, starting this year, I want to let go. I want to let go of these things right now. You know what you're doing? You're actually sitting. And you're actually beginning to partake of what you really need. Things that God knows that you need. God knows your diet. God knows what you need this year. And he has prepared it for you. But are you ready to come and sit and begin to dine with him? Can I have everyone just stand up right now? If that is you, you know what? My hands are lifted up because that's me. I want to dine with Jesus today and tomorrow and the rest of the year and more. If that is you, just lift your hands. Lift your hands to heaven because your hands is a sign that you're connected. You know, your heart is connected to your hands and as you lift your hands, you're saying, Lord Jesus, I just want more. I just want more of you. I want to come to the table that has been prepared and I want to receive all that you have for me this year. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, as we lift our hands, we want more. We want more of you. We want more of you, Lord. I want more. I want more of you.